Almost.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting of Tuesday, February 11th, 2020, at 7 p.m.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Kowalski.
Here.
Whedon.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
All council present except Councilman Linville.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Councilman Linville from this meeting due to illness.
Second.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Yep.
Allen.
Yes.
Kowalski.
Yes.
Whedon.
Yes.
Spitznagle.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Linville sent an email. He is under the weather, like a lot of people out there, so hope he gets better. Okay, item number three. Persons having business before council. Anybody have anything before council? Go ahead.
You gotta come down here.
You gotta come down here, Joe.
That's right, Doc. Something else. My name is Joe Gazzoni, 18817 Alexander Road. My question is, who's going to pass the ordinance for talking and the ticket? Where can they talk in park? That's number one. Number two, are you going to put a sign that says I can talk in park at this area? Anybody?
Well, we haven't talked about that part of it.
Okay, so you have my questions, and I'm sure you'll give me your answers.
Right. Well, yeah, we haven't. That's one thing we.
That's fine.
We haven't talked about having a designated spot.
Okay, but you know, part of my question was, are you going to put signs up where I
can park? Signs.
When you designate an area.
If we designate an area, I don't
understand you got to talk about it.
Yeah, I couldn't answer either one of those right now, Joe. I don't know if anybody.
Okay, thank you.
I think we had those years back, like the place to park, to pull over.
When they became.
You know,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
The proposed ordinance we're looking at states while the vehicle is moving. If you're parked anywhere.
Right.
You can't park anywhere.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're parked anywhere legally, all right, then nobody's going to bother you. You're legal to use your cell phone all you want.
Like a rest area.
Anywhere you want. If you're parked legally on the street or in a parking lot.
Community center, village hall, the metro park.
Yeah, you can. If you need to call emergency services, you know whatever the situation needs. And I do believe that you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but even if you're driving, you are calling emergency services, that's okay too.
That's
the exception.
Right. But if you're legally parked somewhere within the village limits, you're fine.
Yeah, but are you going to put parking areas with a sign that says I can park in such and such an area, and there's a sign that says I'm allowed to park in that area?
No, because I would not think of that, because we're allowed to park it in any public area now.
Some areas and villages have that.
You mean like designated cell phone parking areas?
Right.
Yeah. Like by the airport, they have a designated cell phone lot.
Brooklyn has it where you can pull over and park, and it tells you this is a parking and talking area.
Mm-hmm. We have not considered that, and I don't know where we would put one unless you put a sign out here in the village parking lot in the center of the city. But that again, that's another sign. And
Well, why don't we do this? Since we have it on the agenda, we can talk about it. We can talk about it a little bit more tonight. We have it on the agenda. It will be on for either second reading or if we want a suspension. We did put first reading. So why don't we talk about that? We'll move down a little bit through the internet auction, and then item six is cell phone usage, and if you want to talk about it there. And even if we pass the legislation, that doesn't mean we can't add that down the road. You know, if we feel we need an area for residents, we can always do that. It doesn't, it isn't part of the legislation. It probably wouldn't be part of the legislation. Well, we can talk about that as, okay, how's that?
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
We'll move it. So, any other residents have any questions before council? Okay. So, item number five is internet auction. How's everybody with that? I know we went through that. There's some changes in advertising.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can we skip council comments? Or did you, were you just saying?
Oh, did I skip?
Yes.
Yeah, I did skip.
Trying to keep us quiet.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like to advise the audience and they can pass that on. The 50 plus club for the month of March. I'm saying March now. We won't be meeting here in the village hall. We will be down at the community center. So the 50 plus meeting will be at the community center in March. So you would pass the same time, just a different location. Third Monday. Thank you.
Any others? Council members have anything?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
Rob, please tell the guys thank you for the awesome job on the roads. Johnny was happy he didn't have school on Friday, but we were still able to get to work safe. So thank you very much to them, because I know they were out late Thursday night working.
Any others? Okay, now item five, the internet auction. Yeah, any certain way you want for readings? Do we want to?
We did first reading last time, right?
Yes.
So it would be second reading.
Do you want to do second reading? Okay, we'll do second reading on that then. Item six, ordinance 2020-1, which is cell phone usage. So here we are, Joe.
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
I have not seen those signs that you mentioned in other communities, but my inclination would be to pull off an illegal parking area, whether it's the Village Hall parking lot, the community center, or a business, and just park and make a phone call. I wouldn't think a sign would be necessary, you know, as long as it's a legal public space. A merchant's place. I mean, if you're just talking about the village, then we're talking about here or the community center or across the street.
Gas station.
Yeah, our gas station.
Metro Park on Alexander.
Yeah, exactly.
so we have.
That's what I would think anybody would do. I've done that on occasion where I've had to make a lengthy phone call and pull over. So I didn't think signage was necessary. I mean, I don't know how everyone else feels, but...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Mr. Canzoni, this does, under use of mobile telephone while driving on the ordinance, I don't know if you guys have a copy of it, but letter B, it says, division of this section does not apply to a person who is using the mobile telephone to contact the public safety forces while maintaining the vehicle in the park position or with a hands-free device. So if it was a reason that you needed to call 911, I would think it would be legal to pull over even just to the side of the road, clear of the road with your hazards on for an emergency phone call like that. I don't believe that that would be a violation in any way.
Right.
You know, so if it was an emergency like that that needed to happen, but we're only, I mean, we would have the battery place at the front, at the corner also, Alexander and Northfield.
You know, with that said, there is one. And I'm kind of switching gears a little bit, but I guess it could relate to the area we're at right now and where all of us are parked here tonight on this upper lot. I know there's been talk, people have asked us in the office there, and I know we need to talk to the chief, and this isn't a bad place to talk about this. I mean, about having a designated place to do transactions, you know, as far as selling something.
Mm-hmm.
They were wondering, you know, do we have a safe place here to do that? And I know years ago, it was kind of mentioned the upper lot, but I don't know if we've ever really made a designated spot where somebody could come in and say, hey, I'm having a transaction, and dispatch would put the camera on that site. They could sell whatever and with that. So maybe with that discussion with the chief, we can talk about maybe designated this area or that back area for cell phones, and, you know, there's something this night back there or something. I mean, we all know that this, besides a meeting, this lot's pretty empty most of the time. You know, most of us come back here and you know, recycle, and usually there's no cars in here. So.
Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
You have to make sure you find a place in the parking lot where you get reception.
Right. That is the problem. You know, where one spot you get it is the back. I mean, you don't get it close to the mailboxes, but you get it in the back.
Okay.
Horizon.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing I want to point out is the punctuation on this sentence. It does not apply to a person using the mobile telephone to contact the public safety forces. Semicolon. So you could be driving or parked, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify that for everybody. Then, while maintaining the vehicle in a parked position or with a hands-free device.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be driving along and call 911 if you see something. And, you know, the village is, you know, 7 square miles. And I understand where Mr. Canzoni is coming from, but not everybody that comes through the village, most people don't live here. And it's like, well, we have a designated cell phone over here, and now they're trying to find this place. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it to do something like that. How many people would actually use it to make a lengthy call? But it's something to consider, I guess. But you know, side streets, it's legal to park on the side street.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mary said, I would just, going through any town, say, you know, if I needed to do something, I'd just pull over
into
a parking lot with the first one I see.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I don't know if everyone in the audience has been here when we've been talking about this all along, but Chief has made mention to myself, I know, and I know he's talked with the mayor, that the state is currently looking at implementing a state distracted driving, which would encompass a lot more, you know, than just the cell phone use. So we're just trying to get ahead a little bit with the cell phones, at least, to make it a little safer. That's all.
Well, you know, I think we're going to have this for second reading, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can discuss it with the chief. We can also bring him in here if we need to. Kind of follow up on what some other communities are doing. That helps. I know you mentioned Brooklyn. And go from there. I'm just waiting for council to be done. Tom, then the residents. I see you there.
I'm stretching too.
Anybody else or? Come on up, Tom.
Nowicki, 17612 Egbert. You mentioned the sales of items in the parking lot. Whoever would be head of, I guess, safety committee, I'd advise them to contact Valley View because they have that set up already where they have their area with and whatever else they had to think of. Whoever, I would suggest the safety committee head to contact Valley View. Maybe that'll be their thing to look up. Maybe they'll report to us next time we have a meeting or in March, they have a spot set up where you can have internet sales, it's safe, and cameras and all that. They did it, so they know more about it than the office.
Thank you.
We did talk about that safe space in the past.
Yeah, we did.
And that this was the most ideal because there is a camera constantly in the parking lot.
I think we need to close the loop on it.
Yeah, right, maybe
when come up with a spot, and, you know, and that's a good point. We can see what other communities are doing, whether they're putting a camera on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a lot of times we don't, being such a small community, one of our residents wanted a policeman to actually be out there too if there's nothing, you know.
I was going to say, if there's, you know, if an officer or an auxiliary officer is available, even they could be in the parking lot, you know, if they're made aware ahead of time.
Yeah.
Of the date and time that the transaction would take place.
Because I know some residents have used Village Day follow-up or Village Hall for transactions. Maybe they're doing or meeting somebody for a reason and they didn't feel real comfortable. We may have called the police department and one of the officers would just kind of be out there too with them and gives you a little comfort level. But, you know, that's the advantage we have. Yeah, come on up to the mic and check.
Jeff Finley, 7500 North Grand Park Drive. Is the back parking lot off as far as people going into the back where these cars and that are? Is there a camera back there or no?
I'm not sure if there is a camera in the. I know there's kind of surveillance around there. Where they lose it or not, I couldn't tell you. They've always just kind of had that designated employee parking and kind of the. But that doesn't mean for a transaction, you know, just, well, I think the chief would probably talk to this board was the upper lot.
Okay.
You know.
But I know there's windows down there that they can see.
Right.
Usually there's somebody hanging around there to smoke or something.
But if they know what's going to take place, which is the purpose, to then dispatch can kind of watch too, you know. So.
Okay.
Or we could prefer, yeah. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I think that back parking lot was kind of off limits, was my understanding, to the public, just because of the possibility of transporting somebody under arrest in through there and things like that.
Yeah, plus you have the ambulance going in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of watch that. But we'll follow up with the chief on that and kind of maybe get to, you know, talk about the cell phone usage and you know, if we need a designated area, but at the same time we can talk about the having that safe area for transactions. Because I know it's come up in the past and it's actually a good idea. A lot of people sell things over the internet now and should have a comfortable place. You know, somebody coming from out of town or, you know, so. Any other discussion on the cell phone usage? That's a priority. We want to keep it as second reading.
Mm-hmm.
That one, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any residents have anything on that item? Okay. Now we got the Dunham Road, Tinkers Creek Road repaving discussion, which we started last, where we've been talking about it, but now we do have funding in place. It is on first read. Was on first reading with the county for awarding that. I know we do have Joe here tonight to talk about physical parkades and to talk about the financing of the what's left. That we're not getting a grant for that we have to finance. So I guess probably since Joe's here, we'll start with you, Joe. And if anybody has any questions on the engineering part of it, kind of the sequence of when we start and that, and kind of where it's at with the county, Joe, just to kind of close the loop on it a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Give the council there a brief synopsis of where we are with the county. It's actually on second read tonight. Tonight is their second read, and in 2 weeks' time, we expect the county to have the third and final read and award the grant funding to ourselves and to Maple Heights. We all know the condition of the road, so we'll be partnering with City of Maple Heights to complete this project. I don't want to repeat all of the information that was in the previous memo. Long story short, the road will be widened, Dunham Road, Tinker Street Road also, so the curbs will be removed, the curbs installed at a wider width to allow for the bike lanes to exist next to the traveled lanes for the cars. Same thing on Tinker Street Road as well. The road will be widened to allow for the bike lanes, which would match up with the bike lanes that already exist on Tinker Street Road across the limits into Valley View. That's where we stand geometrically, I guess, with the project. You know, financially, you see the cost estimates are also in the memo, and also from the information from Cuyahoga County Council as well.
Just to kind of the project, our end was almost $2 million, what, $1.939. We got a grant for $1,235,000. So our cost that we would have to encumber would be $705,000. Well, we've been talking about this for the last couple of years. We were hoping we could get the state grant, OPWC money, which we didn't. Maple Heights applied for it too with us. They didn't receive any of it. I know council, we talked about it. We feel it's kind of the time to do it. If we don't accept the county money, we risk the chance of losing that trying to get it all funded. You know, we were hoping we'd get closer, but we did pretty well. We got, you know, $1.2 million. We got over half of it, more than half, funded with a grant that we don't have to pay back, so we're very happy about that. We all know it needs to be done. Maple Heights, from what we understand and talking to the mayor there, they are going to move forward with it. So I think that's where we're at. I don't know if there's anybody have any questions for Joe. Maybe stick around a little bit, Joe, as we go through it in case something comes up. I don't know if anybody has any questions for Joe right now.
What's the timing on the project?
This year, 2020.
When county
has it. Oh, it would be summer and fall.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Joe. Bike lanes are going to be in both directions, right? North and south and east and west.
Correct.
On Tinkers Creek Road. So, okay, wanted to clarify that for everybody. The second thing was there was an email that came through today from David Joyce's office about a U.S. DOT grant that is going to be open for infrastructure over $900 million. Is there anything, I'm assuming not this project, but is there anything else that we could apply for with that, or can we apply for this project still with that?
For us as Walton Hills, the answer is no. I saw the same email through a different channel also today. That's a program in which the minimum request is $5 million.
Small project for $5 million.
Well, we can request $5 million. We can find a place to use it.
Cost $8 million.
Right.
So that's likely not to affect us, or we're likely as a village not to benefit from that in any way. It appears that most of the people that across the state that have gotten funding through that, or across the country that have gotten funding through that program, are DOTs like ODOT,
mm-hmm.
or maybe counties that have a project that's $50 million, a new freeway and a new interchange, all that type of stuff.
Okay.
So. Question. Just out of curiosity, are you going to have to build up the lane that goes into the parkway? Because it pretty much goes straight down over that guardrail. So if you're widening everything, is there going to be any kind of grading done?
No, I don't
really?
Think there's very much in the way of grading. No, I think
we
have enough room to widen Dunham Road, just enough to accommodate bike lanes and two standard travel lanes for the vehicles. I think that's a great problem.
It just looked like there was nothing over there.
You want to get beyond the guardrail yet?
Yeah.
Hold your thought, Andrew.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple questions, Joe. First one, how far south is the Dunham Road project going? How far south is Chinkers Road going to be?
Well, the bike lanes would come south to Chinkers Creek Road, but the repainting would go a little bit further to cover all of the concrete portion of Dunham Road. As you probably know, there's a pavement change about halfway up the hill on the south side of Chinkers Creek.
Will that, will new pavement be completely up the, I'll call it the south hill. Mm-hmm. Will it be up the south hill?
It goes about halfway or maybe a little further than halfway up that hill is where
right
the pavement
now,
changes.
Right now the pavement is, correct me if I'm wrong, it's just, it's grooved.
Oh, you're, yeah, you're talking about the grooved section,
so
yeah, the curve.
Will that entire thing be covered up?
No, we're not planning on touching the grooved.
Okay, so just
right up to the grooves, but stopping where the grooves begin.
Okay, so the now is there a reason why we don't do that hill at this time?
The way we've asked for the funding through the county corresponds to the concrete portion of the road, as that was paved at a different time and with a different material. Than the rest of Dunham Road. So that's just the limits that we've drawn in, the limits we've historically drawn. Last time we paved the other portion of Dunham Road, we went up to that line and stopped. So
okay.
That's been the historical break.
Okay, and now Dunham Road, and I'll call it the North Hill, that's going to be 4 feet wider.
Mm-hmm.
And where the wall is, all that 4 feet is going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing you did. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question concerning the rate of deterioration of that portion, that 4 feet portion, or even the 2 foot portion. You know, we have a concrete, and forgive me for not being, and using engineering terms. We have a concrete, silver cement base, I'll call it,
mm-hmm.
right, cement that we are putting asphalt over.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 4 feet in that area that's being expanded past the wall, that's, I'm assuming that's going to be a base and then brought up with asphalt to level, correct?
Yes, you're correct. Well, the widening would also be concrete with asphalt across the entire width of the new road. So we have...
You lost me.
Well, we have existing Dunham Road,
yeah.
28 feet wide. It's wide 2 feet each side, so a total of 32. That widening, whether it's 2 feet on each side or 4 feet all on one side, whichever the case may be, that widening is concrete, then asphalt over the entire 32-foot new width of Dunham Road.
So there's okay, so that does extend, that concrete extends out.
That's correct, yes.
And the 4 feet section,
mm-hmm.
does that concrete extend, is it the
same thing?
So it's concrete all the way out
that's
the
correct.
Entire width?
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
That answers my question. Thank you. Because I was wondering, the wear, if you're just going to build it up with asphalt, how that over time is going to work differently than...
It likely would, yeah.
But it's not.
But that's not going to be the
case.
It's
not the case, okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
To answer Brian's first question about the pavement with the grooves, I remember the former mayor saying they were going to leave that because it was due to better traction in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is actually... correct, but that was not going to be made really smooth because I remember a school bus ride once not being able to get up that hill as a child, so it was even steeper then. So I think that's why it's being left the way it is.
You're exactly right. When we last paved that portion of Dunham Road in 2007, right after we paved, of course, the complaints came into the village hall. It was too slick. You're going down the hill around the curve. So that's when the grooves were added, and obviously left them there for safety ever since.
Right.
We never get snow on that hill.
Mr. Mayor.
Or it doesn't stay there long, right, Rob?
Mr. Mayor. Joe, the guardrail, is there going to be a different type of guardrail at all on the northbound section, or is that going to remain as is?
No, I think it remains as is.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, go ahead. I have a few questions. Joe, the drawing is not to scale, also shows the under drainage system. Mm-hmm. Are there any anticipated replacement or of the under drainage, or will this expansion be able to happen without having to do any work there?
No, I think new under drains would be installed along with the new curb.
That's all for the lighting.
Yeah.
Another question I have is curious on the actual bidding process for a project like this. When you have an intra-community project, who does the bidding? Will the county bid, or will each municipality bid?
The county will not bid. We will bid. We'll partner with the city of Maple Heights, since it's an intercommunity project, and we will administer the public bid in the same fashion that we would if the entire project took place in the fall.
Okay. And the final question I have is, should the estimate, the bid estimates come in different, higher or lower than this original estimate? Does the county percentage stay the same thing? Go up or down based on the actual bid?
Yeah, the county, the answer to your question likely is the county has established these dollar amounts by the dollar amount, not a percentage. So
if we get a good low bid, mm-hmm. our portion will reduce, but not the county's. If we get a bid under the estimate.
If we get a bid under the estimate, that could be favorable to us. Yeah. Likewise, if the bids are a little bit higher, it could be unfavorable to us.
Absolutely.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Laura.
Joe, since this is one project for two communities, it's going to be, let's just say it's $1 million. And let's say Maple Heights has a half of a mile, mm-hmm. and we have a mile. Is it going to be a percentage of the... Like Sagamore Road, each community?
Very similar to Sagamore Road, yes. It would be a percentage. And we also did the same thing a few years ago on Alexander Road. We partnered with Oakwood, as you guys may remember, when we paved that easterly end of Alexander. So, yes, it's a percentage.
My other question is the bike lane, is that going to be into Maple Heights too? Or is just
yes.
Mm-hmm. And where will it run from? Just Dunham?
All the way. Really to the turning intersection, Dunham turning intersection.
Joe, that project with the bike lanes is part of a bigger view, right, of connecting our metro parks? And that's the reason why for adding the bike lanes?
Part of it, yeah. It connects to the metro parks and also once we connect to Valley View, to the bike lanes in Valley View, then it connects you to the canal towpath.
Yeah.
Exactly, thank you, which is the... another bike lane, walking path, whatever it is. So it connects a few things. Yeah.
But that project specifically was one of the driving forces behind this because we end up with over $900,000 of the funding because of those bike lanes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to let you be the first one to ride.
Okay, I'm riding my bike lane.
He used to ride it down Egbert. He used to ride it down Egbert.
Any council has any more questions? Did you want to, Andrew, did you want to, residents have any questions related to the physical structure of it?
Two bike lanes going down the hill on Dunham Road Hill. And they're going to end where? Right at the park?
Yeah.
Are we going to widen the bridge?
No, they end at Tinker's Creek Road.
what you just said earlier, that, you know, it's to connect it in with the park and then with the viaduct or whatever the case may be, you're going to get a lot of bike traffic come flying down that hill. What about the bridge?
We're not touching the bridge.
All right. Now, what about possibly redoing the figures, going back to the county or the state or the federal government, get this bridge widened, get some more money, and also fix the sharp bend at the top of the little hill? Because that's eroding away. Now we can get into $5 million and have the government pay for everything.
It's not the way that the county is, not the way their funding program works. It's not.
Well, you said the federal government, but was it ODOT? Or was it ODOT? Or
that was for a different pot of money.
That's, yeah.
That's out there.
Well, let me say, can we go to that pot of money and maybe present a case to, was it ODOT? Was it ODOT?
It was USDOT.
USDOT, and see about, you know, I mean, the hill is bad. That little hill is bad, for one thing, and it's clearly eroding away. So if we can see about putting that in, you know, with a wider lane, wider roads, you're going to get more traffic. See if I get the bridge widened out and see about fixing that hill. That little hill, we'll get more money. It never hurts to ask. Worst thing to do is say no. That's all they can do is say no. So you ask.
The USDOT program is not, it's not set up to fund these types of projects.
Then why did you bring it up?
I didn't.
Yes, you did bring it up.
No, Mr. Lisko, actually, I brought it up. I was the one that read the email and had asked Joe about that, if that was something possible for us.
But let me just kind of, just so residents know, too, this is an initiative from the county to put those bike lanes in. You know, because somebody asked me, gosh, why is the village pushing bike lanes when, you know, do you really need to have a bike lane there? Well, the thing is, the county's pushing it. It's a program. They, in fact, the funding we're receiving for the, when you look at the spreadsheet, it's almost amazing. All of us here have talked about it. We're getting $765,000 for the bike lane and only $250,000 for the road. Well, because they want us to do this project and they want us to do the bike lane. We can't pick and choose what we would put in there. It's either this whole project or nothing.
Now, hold on,
Andrew. You gotta understand, this is in front of us now. Okay, would we like to get all that done and go for that project? But then we also take the chance, what if we don't receive that money? Now we're out with a road we know we have to fix. Dunham needs to be fixed. It's probably the biggest out of our, besides our secondary roads.
I disagree with you on that part, Don. It does need to be fixed. All
right.
I'm saying is, with the extra traffic now, you got people, oh, look at this, we got bike paths going down to the park now. And everything's going to funnel that right down to that bridge. Now, is there any way, all you can do is ask. If there's anything, hey, look, you know, there's been a lot of concerns about, you know, widening the road and putting two bike lanes on either side, we're funneling, we're bottlenecking down to the bridge. There's going to be accidents on that bridge.
Oh, we'll apply, but we're not going to, if there's something that we can apply for in that program that they sent us, that Ms. Allen brought up, that we received today, we'll go after it. We'll have the Joe and Don and Shrew Valley Engineering review it, and if there's projects, I know we just received Joe's talking about some of the other paving projects in the village, we'll go after them. But I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not going to encourage this body to not act on this that's in front of us right now. Dunham Road needs to be done, and we have to accept this bid this year and move on. I mean, that's a great idea, but I'm just wanted, I don't want to give you anybody think we're, you know, something not
I sure. Understand what you're saying, but all I'm saying is it could be something to maybe that somebody present it back to the county and say, hey, look, there's been a lot of concerns about this. What about the bridge? We're going to have problems with the bridge. People get made. Then maybe they might take a look at it again, say, you know something, you're right. Let us look into this. And then as far as for bidding, it's not the lowest bid. It's lowest bid that's qualified. Hopefully, you'll hire a union contractor. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was going to come.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay.
176 12 Egbert. Since you're bringing up the bike lane and the bike lane ends, bikers are going down, and generally the bike lane heads down Tinker's Ridge Road because they have the bike lanes there for people continually going along the hills. I don't know how wide that bridge is, Joe knows. Would there be room to stretch lines to go forward along that concrete driveway? No. Also, it's the sidewalk is actually what you got to do. And then turn into Metro Parks if you're going into Metro Parks. Because you're not heading up Dunham Road Hill because that's not really wide and there's no bike lane there. So since everyone's all of a sudden talking about the bike lanes ending, what thought would we have to warn the bikers that it's ending and there's an intersection? I don't know. I'm just throwing out there for thoughts. You know, because you're heading down that hill and you need to stop because it's, you know, there's stop sign by Jacobs Creek and by Metro Parks. I'm just throwing out there to thought. And about a year ago, I heard about this proposition. And I mentioned putting in an asphalt. And the people looked at me like, that was crazy. Am I correct? You're putting 32 feet of concrete, then asphalt over the top. I brought that up about a year ago. I know I did. People looked at me like, you're nuts. But that's what we're doing. I remember bringing up how the seams break and all that and stuff like that. I remember specifically. So what happened to work with asphalt on top, Joe? That's a good idea, because a year ago it was like time to nuts. Are the lines going to be, it's going to be for gripping? Are the lines going, if this is asphalt, there'll be an asphalt finish.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. So is there the gripping for tires? Is there something that they do? Like when you go off the road in the interstate and you hear your tires?
Oh, you mean the rumble strips?
No, I'm just saying, is there anything for the finish of the asphalt? Or is it just going to be?
Generally speaking, no.
No.
There's no.
Smooth asphalt.
Yeah, but smooth asphalt. The instant that you brought up with the grooves, I mean, that's a bit of a unique situation.
That's just a question on that. And how thick is the asphalt?
Three.
All right.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say that I agree with Mr. Liskow about the bike path and funneling everything in there. There's no way that I'm not going to vote for this because we would lose
all the money. Yeah.
The years if we ever even got the money back from the county to try to fix that world. I'll go on record now, and I know we have bicyclists in the room, but I'll go on record now saying I think it's a horrible idea to put a bike route down that road. And the reason is you don't have all the people going down that road that are like some people in this room that are bicyclists. You have kids on $80 supermarket bicycles.
Oh, my kid.
I remember a friend of mine going down the Pyrrhus Road on the west side, and his bike almost, it did fall apart on him. And we ended up having to walk home. You have all kinds of experience levels riding bicycles. And when you see a bike path, you automatically assume, well, this is a bike path. It must be safe. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dunham Road Hill is anywhere near being safe for inexperienced bicyclists. And I'm going to go on record now saying I'm going to vote for this, but I think it's a horrible idea to encourage people to go down Dunham Road, and I know I'm going to get some disagreements, but you have to look at the entire spectrum of people riding their bikes. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to turn Tinker's Creek Road to go to the towpath and everything like that. People are going to go across and go to the ice cream store, whatever they're going to do, go down and try to go to the Metro Park that way. I'm sure Chagrin Valley is always looking for funding for us. That's something that I will agree with you needs to be addressed. If we're going to go through with this, which we are, I believe that's going to be my vote. But I think that's something that we need to address.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was very surprised when I read this about bike lanes on both sides, because in the winter, driving down that road or up it can be dangerous at best. I do understand, because I had read the other emails about they're using it to connect to the towpath, so the idea is coming from Tinker's Creek up Dunham into Maple Heights, or from Maple Heights down Dunham to Tinker's Creek. You know, so that would be the natural part. Our in-house expert cyclist, I would ask Gray, is there a place where these trails are like listed so people would know ahead of time this is the way that the trail goes, or is there a specific way that the metro parks designate these areas that cyclists would know that frequent them?
Yeah, with the exception of the point that Brian brought up, children, that may just get out there and go. The cycling community does a very good job of drawing maps, even on your Google Maps, on your cycling devices, kind of letting you know the terrain that you're on, how wide the bike lanes are, safety hazards. So for the, I would say for the avid cyclist, this is a blessing. This type of new bike lane would be a blessing for the avid cyclist. But they're coming down that hill now anyway. People come down Dunham Road and up Snake Hill, believe it or not. Train. I know people that train. I'm not one of them. That train on Snake Hill, or whatever we call that, all day, every day. So the addition of designated bike lanes will increase the safety of those who are the avid cyclists. Yes, I agree with Brian there. I hadn't thought about the children perhaps coming from Maple Heights or at the top of
Ryan and Seeley.
Drive and getting out there. But once you have that education, you know, it's a safe option. I believe it would be a safe option. And I can't wait.
Well, I think that's maybe something that we need to publicize for our residents, at least, you know, in the future, and to please watch their children, you know, with that area. Myself, growing up riding bikes here, there were a few hills we would go up, and there were a few we weren't even attempting. We were just walking. We had no problem riding down them, but going up them was the challenge for us more.
Well, the bottom line is we're going to continue. Cuyahoga County wants to continue as many bike trails funnel into the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, because that is the jewel of Cuyahoga County. There is not many counties that have a national park in their center there. That is one of the most traveled national parks in the country. I think it's second or third. So their whole thing is, and the county and whatever leadership's there, they're going to continue to funnel money, this is just part of it, into that Cuyahoga Valley. And the goal is to get people to that canal road and get them to the visitor center, everything right there. That's kind of the start. Get them to the train, get them to that whole, you know, Rockside Road area, the Cuyahoga Valley train, that visitor center. That is the core, and it's going to continue to be that way. It might sound crazy, but they want to connect almost all the communities in Cuyahoga County that come some way into that Cuyahoga Valley. It's because it's a jewel. And, you know, living here, we probably underappreciate it a little bit, but a lot of us know when family comes from out of town, they'll say to you, oh, I want to go to the Cuyahoga Valley, and you're like, you know, don't you take advantage of that beautiful towpath or that beautiful scenery or a train and all that. So that's why you see that money here and stuff, and even if it is just to go down Tinker's Creek. That's a big goal. Like, look at those bridges down there in the valley. Millions of dollars there were spent on those village bridges just to showcase kind of that Cuyahoga Valley there.
Well, and again, Mayor, you know, like I said, I know that this was really pushed more by this bike lane funding. $765,000 for Dunham Road is specifically from the Bike Lake funding. And we're only getting $250,000 to do Dunham Road from the county. And also, Tinker's Creek Road, we're getting $150,000 from the Bike Lake funding specifically. Whereas from the county, we're only and I say only, but getting $70,000. So $915,000 of this money is being driven behind this Bike Lake funding. This was the whole purpose of them wanting us to do this project.
And our road is bad, so it needs to be done. So it worked out well for us. We'll take the bike lane and get our road repaired. That's for sure. Plus increase a good thing for Walton Hills. It's going to be a good PR thing when this takes place. Maple Heights and Walton Hills, they want to have like a little showcase, you know, with the whole connecting, that whole thing. It's a good thing for Walton Hills, too. There's no doubt about it. It connects us with the valley. It connects us with the national park. We're very fortunate. Not too many communities have a metro park and a national park in their boundaries. It's something we should all be proud of. We're very fortunate.
Yes, if I may, Jennifer and Mary, this is one item, since Brian brought this up, an item that the safety committee, you can take charge in making sure that we reach out to Bike Cleveland, the advocacy and educational group to come into Walton Hills and Maple Heights as it relates to, whatever training, awareness to kind of help us to, educate our residents and the residents that will come through this area, about, the potential dangers of making that ride down Donnerville. Again, it's not the avid cyclists, that's a charge for them, but for the youth, the younger and inexperienced riders, that's where the education needs to be. So we can put that on our agenda for the safety committee to make sure we get that portion covered.
Yes, go ahead, Lori.
Along with Mr. Wheaton said, we have to be careful what we say. We'll say it's dangerous, and if somebody does get hurt, a child, it's sue. So we have to watch our verbiage for what we say, because if someone does get hurt, then they'll say, well, it was dangerous.
That's true.
So just something we have to. I like the signs that, sometimes they have, when you go on hikes, they have, little feet, and they show, what is extreme, hiking and stuff like that. So maybe something on there that, it's aware that this isn't your flat road,
Any other questions relating to the, go ahead, Andrew.
A couple more, and I'll leave you alone. Any portion of the hill, is it going to be grooved? Like maybe from the bridge up 100 feet? Because I remember a time back when I was 19 years old coming down that hill, and it wasn't in the winter time. It was around November where you get the freezing rain. And I slid out and right at the bottom of that hill. And I knew it was bad, so I was going down that hill just fine. As soon as I got to the bottom, my Cadillac spun around and I almost hit a truck right at that bridge. So is there any way that I could be grooved? Take care of that. One. Two. Safety purposes, I feel, think about it, it should only be one bike lane going down, would be the either north or west side. If you're going down Road Hill, it would be on the right side only. Think about it. If you have one going up, somebody's going to be texting and driving, and they're going to do it, no matter what kind of laws we have passed. How would you like to be the place that's creaming that building going down over the guardrail? Keep it to the side where the parapet wall's at, all the way down. Once they get to over the bridge, they can stop at Park Place, look both ways like a normal human being, cross over the road to get to Snake Hill. That would seem the most logical thing, and a safer item, with a safer proposition, so that, it would help deter anybody getting hurt and sued. Also, probably another good thing would be put down there would be we don't have grade signs on that hill. And I believe that hill is like 7.5% steep grade. We should have danger sign up there at the top of the hill somewhere for the bicyclists. And they're going to go down that hill and not use a bike path. Slap them with a ticket. Put a sign up there that says use a bike path or get a $150 fine. That'll keep people on that bike path and keep any further, any accidents, somebody getting hurt going down that hill. Because you can get some speed going down that hill, a lot of speed. And personally, myself, I got up to 70 on my bike.
Jeez.
Just letting you know.
I do, Mayor.
Yeah.
I do believe riding a bike, you do, it is the law that you have to use with the traffic. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So there may be an issue with just putting a bike path on one side of the road because people going on the other side of the road, going up, technically breaking the law. Right. And I don't know. I'm just
Everybody has to go with the flow of traffic now. Cyclists and people walking, it's not like it used to be when we were younger. You have to go against traffic. You have to go with the flow of traffic. Because you got two objects coming together fast and the vehicle is not going to judge the bicyclist or the walker or runner quick enough, they can collide.
Right, so if you only have one bike path, the people going up the hill are going technically.
But there's going to be a curve. There'll be a curve blocking the road with the bike path. Am I right, Joe, or no?
No.
No? That's just even worse than having two bike paths. It's worse. There should be a curve there running all the way down. I mean, Mr. Mayor, it's something that, you know, maybe people overlooked, I know we're all excited about getting the road done. I know I'd like to see the doggone road done and grab all the free money I can get my hands on. But we also got to look at, there are other things that people missed in all of this. So, I mean, signs are cheap. If you can have signs made on this, no big deal. A couple $100, God knows it doesn't. No big deal. But we have safety measures involved. Safety measures with as far as for going up that hill, somebody can go right over the side. Especially now that there's no curve on it. Like Joe said, there's no curve. I mean, that's to somebody, that's a wider road. You know, if they're not paying attention. At least with a curve, they're going to hit a curve. If you got a 12-inch high curve running, they're going to smack that curve with your car. And they're going to wake up real fast if they were texting and driving. It's just something, keep the lane on one side of the road, and it just makes it safer, even for the drivers themselves, because they're not getting bombarded with bikes on either side. Everything is all on one side. They have their bike lane.
Andrew, come up to the mic.
They have their bike lane split right down the middle, you know, for people coming up, people coming down. Cyclists are very courteous. I used to do a lot myself, and, you know, they move out of the way for others, especially if somebody's going, you know, especially when you're dealing with hills. They'll move out of the way. You know, somebody coming up the hill will pull off to the side. But we should have some sort of safety measure for these bike paths going down the hill. And if we're just widening the road, that's not going to do it. There should be a curve there. And, you know, it should just be one lane. But that's something you should bring up to the county. Maybe you can get some more cash out of them or something. Anything, bring up to these people. I mean, the curb, I haven't done road work in a while, but I don't know, what's yard of concrete's $120 a yard. If we put a curb at the top of the hill, let's say from the service department all the way down to Tinker's Creek, how many yards of concrete do you think that would be? 12-inch high curb going 6 inches down in the ground. 18 inches of concrete, 6 inches wide.
We're not there to do math.
Thank you,
But it should be in the details. It should be brought back up.
We'll decide that.
Mr. Mayor?
We'll decide that. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Lisco, did you say that there was a community where they have the bike trails on the same side, both directions?
There's a lot of places that have them on one side. I mean, I haven't biked in a while, but yes, they do have them on one side. They don't necessarily have them on both sides of the road.
Okay. I'm asking.
No, I mean, it's 7.5% steep grade.
Sure. No, I understand the steepness of the hill up and down there many, many times myself. But I was asking because I know in Akron they've got bike lanes everywhere, which just boggles the mind, and it makes it very difficult even to turn right into a parking lot because you have to watch for a bike to come flying up behind you. But they're always on opposite sides of the road, both directions. There hasn't been anywhere in
one side. Certain parts of
the
peninsula, Boston, they have them on one side.
Okay. Well, that's why I was asking, you know, where it was and stuff, so I could look into it.
Just going to carry lumber in itself. They have it just on one side of the road.
I don't ever remember seeing, Ray, maybe, you know, seeing curbs on usually the bike lanes are just separated by
a line.
By markers.
Right.
I don't ever remember, I'm not saying it's not a good idea, no, I don't remember ever being separated by a curb. I usually just.
Just, I would say in this instance, Mr. Mayor.
What's that?
I would say just in this instance, just for the hill itself.
Right.
I mean, because again.
Well, I don't know if it's.
Again, you're going down that hill.
That's what my point.
You're going down that hill in bad weather, the temperature drops, and the cyclist might get stuck riding, whatever the case may be, he's going down that hill. Like I said earlier, 19 years old, I spun out. And you have a curb there to protect that cyclist. That car is going to go in that bike. You're going to have a mess.
Anybody else have any other? Go ahead.
Who started it?
Tom
DeWicke, 17612 Egbert, bringing all that up. The two walls that are there, they're just holding dirt. I mean, in a perfect world, wouldn't it be great to move those walls back and have a nice double wide all the way down the hill? I mean, in a perfect world. And with the curb, like you're, I was thinking that before you brought it up, the curb all the way down, and then your 8 or 10 feet of bike path, which handles both ways, going up only one side, the downhill side, in a perfect world. But where would we get money for, and that would slow down the whole project, you know, where would we get money for that wall? Or could we rebid that? Because think about it, that wall's back 8, 10 feet, and everything's on that side, both ways. But then you add in people walking down the bike path with somebody riding their bike. If you have curbs and all that, I mean, we could go on and on and on with this. But yeah, maybe some more thought needs to be done.
Anybody else have any comments down the road on the physical part of it? There's now the worst part, and that is paying for it. Okay, that's the tough part. That's the hardest part. Go ahead, Katie.
So we, like Angela wrote in that memo, we haven't officially closed 19. We're still making some little tweaks, and so don't pay attention to all of that, but the cash fund balance is correct. So just looking at how we're in 2019, we started the year, our cash balance was $1,154,000. We finished with $1,890,000. That's almost, you know, over $700,000 surplus for the year. You'll have several options because of the timing. It will line up likely right around when we do our yearly note issuance. So there is either a possibility that we would be able to absorb the full cost without issuing debt, or issue debt on a portion of the project. So this would be part of our one-year note that we do. Currently, our outstanding on the note is $1,495,000, and that is comprises for our projects. So Dunham Alexander, Sagamore Road, Alexander Northfield, and the community center. So either way, the interest rates are very low. We do 1 year bond anticipatory notes, but we may not have to issue that at all, just depending on how our revenues
come. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
For Katie, looking at this simplistically, and you know, it's hard to come up with an answer, but with the rates and that, if we did loan out the entire $705,000, I'm looking for a generic, simple number that at if we paid the minimum, and I know we like last year, we paid more on our notes than what we. But if we just paid and got into hard times and paid just the minimum,
what would our, you know, what would that minimum payment look like as far as adding to our expenses for the year? Are we talking $50,000 a year, $60,000? Yeah, I know it's difficult.
So with a road project, we can reissue that note for the lifetime. You know, we could carry it 20, 25 years. So that puts us at about $35,000 a year, not including interest, if we were to pay that off completely within a 20-year period.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer.
Katie, you deal with this all the time. What would your recommendation be?
We absolutely do it.
I'm talking about for the payment of the debt issuance. Which, what do you think would be the best way to do?
Because of the timing of the project, we may be in a situation where you don't have to issue debt. We may be at a point where we can absorb the cost easily. Not easily, it's a big chunk of money, but that way we wouldn't have to issue debt, or we would only have to issue a portion. So,
okay.
I think our financial situation is
turning around.
It is, absolutely, slowly but surely, and...
Mr. Mayor, that's a good option. I think we should look at, though, seriously, you know, we are on the black side of the ledger, finally, by the skin of our teeth, still. And we don't have money to, you know, all of our interior roads, that's paid 100% by us. So we have to make a decision, do we want to lay the $705,000 down all at once or not? As Katie said, interest rates are so low, we can always pay extra every year on that and pay it off if, you know, something wonderful happens and we're I think that's, yeah, that's what that is. I think if we issued the debt, got the loan at a low interest rate and just paid it off quickly, then we had that buffer just in case we needed that money for a $100,000, $150,000 dump truck that the service department keeps asking for, things like that. Sometimes just throwing it out.
Not
that we have to do it, but it's something to look at. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead. Katie, what is the timeline that you would need if that debt were to be issued? Is that something that could be done closer towards the end of the project? Is that something that would need to be done before it even begins?
No. So you want, it's ideal that the funders come before we issue the note. Our note is up in November, so the timing will be perfect so that we can combine it with our current issuance. We're not paying duplicate issuance fees, underwriting fees. And then we will know our situation, our financial situation, a lot better.
Much stronger than for the end of the year.
We need to include it in our note.
So Santa could bring a dump truck at the end of next year.
Any other questions related to that? I guess, so what the thing is, we know we want to do it.
Sure.
So are we ready to go ahead and move forward with it? And then as the year goes on and we revisit the budget, we'll see where we're at. And then when our notes come up, we can decide whether or not, we want to roll it into the note or just pay it out right there. Mm-hmm. Right? So, any other questions related to that?
Just a very good question.
Let me get the body thing, because that's what this is for. Right. This is these are four sessions for this body here. Where are we at?
I think we should vote for it.
Do we want to put it for first reading, or do we want to
Joe, are we in a situation to, if we were to go to additional readings and we'd be going into next month, we have time on that, or do we need to give the county an answer after their third reading?
Well, the county's only doing the second reading now, right?
But yeah, in 2 weeks, they do their one.
Correct. County has their second reading tonight. They'll have their third reading in 2 weeks' time. So if in 1 week's time, I would suggest that if we're all comfortable moving forward, which it sounds like we are, that the next week we vote yes and we move forward. This way we can give the county our answer.
Mr. Mayor, I think we should do it for suspension, because I think we need to give the county the answer and not wait around for three readings.
You're exactly right. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. We need to get back to the county. And also, it's a seasonal construction project.
Right.
So the longer that we wait, the longer the project waits.
It is.
Yeah. And we do want to do the project at a good time of the year, especially when it's bathing and everything. We want a good job. We want a job like we ended up with on Alexander Road there. That turned out to be a very good job. It was smooth and went well. How does everybody feel about suspension then for next week?
Fine.
And if you change, then we just put it for first reading. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if there is something, either contact me or Joe or Katie, and if there's questions, whether it's about funding or whether it's about the physical part of it, because I would like to get it passed and then move forward with the project. I feel it's a good project. There's a window there for us to be involved with it and get the funding. I know we hated even the talk about the $705,000. That's a tough bill to swallow. It's a tough one with the residents knowing our secondary roads are in bad shape, but we do have to maintain our main roads. We have to maintain our infrastructure, and we're getting $1.2 million of money that we don't have to pay back.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Joe, would you be able to just look into some of those safety concerns and see if there is anything that...
Sure. Well, we can certainly speak to the county.
Okay.
Concerns with the bridge or the hill on the south side. Those are long-term projects, which are many years in the planning stages.
Sure.
Wouldn't be a part of this Dunham Road and Tinker Street Road paving.
Right.
If anything like that occurred, it would be...
Well, if you could just inquire, so we have an idea and stuff, and I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I said, while Bill, you're still standing here, as I drove down Dunham Road today, and there's a few homes on the Walton Hill side where, things like mailboxes are right at the road. Is that something that the village assumes the cost of moving or replacing?
Yeah, sure. We would simply have to move the mailboxes a couple of feet to accommodate.
All right. Okay. Some are just, they're right at the road. Okay. Yeah. Not that way, but so the only other point I had there is that in the county's resolution, there's some clear language that I think that gives the residents just a bit of assurance that they won't have to pay for this out of their pocket. It talks about finding that special assessments will neither be levied nor collected to pay any part of the county cost of said improvement. I would like for us to kind of mirror that type of language so that it's clear that the village administration will be funding this project, and that no way possible that our residents will be, levied any special assessments for this widening of the road, that kind of thing. Like, doesn't mirror that kind of.
That's not a problem. I think any kind of levy that we would put against the residents, it would have to, I think it has to go to the ballot, I think, anyways.
We can do versus.
Yeah. I mean, not that we would do it, I'm just saying.
That's where we just let them know we're
not.
Next question, they can come on.
But in a sense, the truth is we are all paying for it.
We are.
Everybody here is paying for it. We all are paying for it because it's coming out of the village revenue. So we are paying for it, you know, but it's a good thing. We're paying for something to make our, keep our community nice and improve it. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, but we're only paying for a third of it ourselves. Bless you.
But your county, but our county is on, which is us.
Too. Still comes from us.
We're just a different way.
At least we're getting something back to the town, if I'm correct. Anybody else have anything related to that? Did you, come on, Andrew, if you have something?
Last time. I text my friend who's a cement victim at Mason, and just to get a quick number, this would probably be a good insurance policy with the curb. I just gave him some quick figures of 18 inches deep, 18 inches by 10 inches by 500 feet for the hill, which is about 125 yards of concrete at $120 a yard, $15,000. $15,000 could save this village a whole lot of assets if somebody gets hurt. Something to think about.
Thank you. Any other questions relating to the Dunham Road Tinkers Creek repaving project?
Mayor?
Yes.
Just on that regard, before I would look at a, well, in looking at a curb, sometimes things, and I'm not saying this is true or not, but sometimes things that seem okay or seem to be good ideas to begin with turn out not to be good ideas, and I would want to do research on whether curbing a curb in the middle of the road like that, going down a steep grade, would actually be safer or actually a deterrent. Because you also have to think about the bicyclist not paying attention and goes over the curb, flips over the curb, and falls in the middle of the road. You know, where had the curb not been there to begin with, they wouldn't do that. So I would want to get some research on that, and if there's anything available as far as statistics or anything like that people have found that a road was actually made more dangerous by putting a curb in. And I don't know that to be true or not, but before we start doing something, that's the type of information I would want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead, Laura.
I wonder about that too, just hitting the curb and flying off the bike too. The other thing is statistics. Maybe if our police chief can give statistics, how many accidents have been along that area of the Dunham Road with the curb and that. Maybe people are more careful than we think, you know, going down there, you know. But just statistic-wise, how many accidents on Dunham there are there on the hill?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to ask the chief for that. I have to ask for that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
The curb would sound like a good idea to begin with, but in Akron and surrounding communities, there are a lot of bike lanes, and I've not seen, which is what I was thinking when Mr. Lisco was talking, I haven't seen that, you know, down there, right through downtown Akron and everything, because part of downtown Akron hits part of Cuyahoga Valley, train line, you know, they make stops right down through there and stuff, and where the Metro Parks and the Cuyahoga Valley Park comes down into there. So I don't know, Ray, if that's anything that you've ever seen in your riding experience.
You mean curb? Yeah, but not on the hill. No, I mean, we're talking a dedicated bike lane or protected bike lane,
mm-hmm.
More term. Yeah, I've seen a lot of protected bike lanes, you know, and they're good, but not on a hill. On a hill, in my opinion, on a hill like Dunham Road, the drivers and the cyclists will respect one another because the bike is going to be going down that hill at 35 miles an hour or 40 or 50. I mean, for an avid cyclist,
mm-hmm.
not the kid. They're going to just go.
The kid bride.
They're just going to go. And, you know, and the cars and the will yield. Because they know that guy's not even beating traffic. They're going to mm-hmm. get down that hill. And they'll just go down the hill.
Yeah. There are a few.
The curve is, it could be a little bit.
There are a few areas in downtown Akron where the bike lane is completely separate. But that's more of a bridge situation now that I'm thinking of it. You know, so there was just no way to widen the road for the bike lane at that point. They put it on the other pillar of the bridge, you know, where it follows along the road. But I've
5-foot bike lane is pretty nice bike lane. It's pretty wide.
Any other questions related to that? Okay, so we'll put it on that item. On for first reading?
Oh, no.
For suspension, I'm sorry. For suspension. Joe, before you take off, I know this week Ron notified the office that the project is complete on Fall Drive. You know, that sanitary drain is complete. And everything went well. I know council did receive a letter that went out to the residents. I did forward that to them so they
couldn't read that.
What's that?
I said I couldn't read that. It was like that big on the screen.
I put it in your box.
Oh, okay.
Joe, did you just kind of want to comment on that, kind of give an update where that road is at? Or what is left?
I was just looking, it must be this.
Go ahead.
Sure. It's all good news regarding the Akron Road sanitary force main installation. Job is substantially complete. The new sewer is in the ground. It's active. It's up and running. Contractor finished a week ahead of schedule and right on budget. The only item left is to return in the spring to install the topsoil and seed. On the areas of the tree lawns that got disturbed during the work.
Right. And in that letter, the residents were told that the restoration of the areas that needed will get complete when the weather, you can grow grass. And they do have Joe's contact too. If they have rock, if they have any questions, maybe anything to do with that. So we're happy to know it went well and everything's working. So that's just kind of wanted to, why you were here. Anybody have any questions on that? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a kind person. I noticed they put the hay all over. Is that they took up the water?
That's in just to try to reduce the tracking of the mud or the mud to get to wash out during a rain event.
Now, when in the spring when they come and they receive the grass, what about the grading? Because I know it goes like this from my yard, and when you're riding with a lawn tractor, you're riding like this. Will they even it out?
Well, yeah, the areas that they've disturbed, the grade is rough at this point, so they'll topsoil, smooth it out, and then plant the grass.
Any other questions related?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, it's not related to Kaiden, but I was just, while you're here, and I wanted to ask real quick, because I was looking through other things from the end of the year, the CDBG, the Community Development Block, have we heard anything about that yet?
No, I haven't heard
okay.
Yet.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. July? Any residents have any questions for Mr. July before you're all set?
That's his dad.
What's that?
I said Mr. Gelati is his dad.
Okay, so that's it for item 7. Other business? Anybody have anything other business they wanted to?
I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the director, I talked to Councilwoman Allen about the owl, prospect of the owl, doing handing out the directories when I hand out the owl, just putting them in the bag, same bag. It would be about $275 if we came back with. That I don't have a specific number for the mailing, but I'm confident the mailing is going to be a lot more than that because of the weight. We pay currently about that for the journal, which is a lot less substantial. Friday was the last day for, this past Friday was the last day for residents to submit any addendums to their information. So that's being wrapped up. And we just wanted to make sure we were wrapped up, knew where we were going when the printer gets them back to us. So I thought I'd throw that out to you. We don't, it's way underneath, you know, any threshold that we have to fit in that, you know, or anything like that. As a matter of fact, the mayor can just spend it and, you know, tell us, hey, this is what we did, and that's fine. That's well within his rights. But just I just wanted to throw it out and get yay or nay for everybody, from everybody. If that's okay with everybody, we'll just have the owl do it, and they can bill us, and we'll be...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay with everybody?
Huh.
Okay, then,
yeah.
Then we can say that's decided upon.
Yep, good.
All right,
then we
thank
have
you.
A method of getting it out to everybody.
Brian, do you know how soon the printing would be? I mean, today's only the 11th, so I'm not...
Ms. Greenwell said that they could turn it around, a pretty quick turnaround within, I think I'm saying a few days.
Okay.
Once we get the final
things
for them. And Mary in the office was coordinating with Crystal as far as sending her copies of addresses and our advertisements and things like that to make sure that they were exactly fitting them appropriately, so there weren't any glitches. So as soon as we send it, it's going to be up and running within, I'm going to say, a week or so.
Okay, because our all proof is due on the 15th of every month.
Okay.
And then we read through that, you know, go through it as a proof, resend it. So we would be looking at the last week in February, that week of the 24th.
Okay.
And so just wanted to have an idea so we can kind of coordinate, you know, whether they when they get delivered and when we can schedule our bagging, and we'll.
Mr. Mayor, do you want me to coordinate with Mary with that, or do you
yeah,
want
I know Mary's finished up. Like some of the clubs have their, they submitted like their mission statement, and so that's being worked on and stuff. So I think you're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then
I can talk to her tomorrow.
Yeah,
and see
that's
exactly
fine.
Where she
yeah, just like as long as it's like that week, and we really try not to deliver on a Friday,
right.
Just because of trash day and the cans and stuff, it makes it difficult. Certainly.
Anything else, or did you have anything, Brian?
I think that's it.
Anybody else have anything under other business? I have a couple things I just did want to see. Anybody else have anything?
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I did want to know, do we know when the fire contract will be up? Katie, do you?
It's a 10-year contract.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you can look at it and review it. We have exit clause in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime. So if you want to take this safety committee and look at it, that's...
Well, Ray had brought up as head of the safety committee if there were any things, and I just thought that should be one thing that, you know, we should look at, especially if it's a 10-year contract.
The information going back to Mary, she's one of Mary being inquired about, you know, getting a copy of the contract.
Yeah, I have a copy. I can do this without...
Okay. And I had a
put a copy in everybody's mailbox if you want to, if everybody wants to look at it.
Sure. I had another question kind of related to that, which is actually what spurred the when is the fire contract up? Are we in litigation with dispatch services?
No, we're not in litigation at all.
Okay. Have we been paid for those dispatch services
no.
yet?
No.
are we moving forward with trying to get paid for our dispatch services?
I'll take it off record and discuss that with you.
Okay.
I don't think the public forum is the place for
you. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else have anything related to that? Or anything? Hold on, Andrew, because I got stuff here that I have to get through, so we'll get to you. What I have for other business is, I know Katie already answered the question, but I think we should talk about it. Rob, you do need legislation for the two pickup trucks. We did, Rob in his budget has, you know, we allocated for this year, two pickup trucks, two new trucks. He did get bids from, Bob Gillingham, I think they're here.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And we would need legislation for him to purchase those two trucks. We can put that on for first reading next week, or we could, put it on for suspension. You could decide at that time. We've already allocated the money. We've already have it as line items in the budget. And we discussed those trucks quite a bit when we put the budget together. It's just a matter of now we got to allow him to spend the money to purchase those two trucks. It's about $70,000 total. I think it was 40 for one, and the quotes of 30 for the other. So,
do you get? I'm sorry.
Those bids. And Bob Gillingham is the best bid, or those just one quote for clearance sake?
Yeah, we get the state bids.
Okay.
State bid. And they're two separate bids because they're outfitted a little different, or they're, that's what you want to talk about, what the difference between the two is? Is that what you were wondering?
No. My question was the bidding process. How do we get to the one?
How do we get to Bob Gillingham?
Right. If it's a state bid, I understand that
right.
Process.
Right. And we go to, I know we
that was going to be my question
before, and we kind
of that was going to be my question,
right.
You know, was this two different, or is it going to be the same regardless of which?
They're both from Bob Gillingham.
We use Bob Gillingham for our latest police vehicle purchase. I think they found that the price of there was better than we were getting at Liberty when we were purchasing from them. So because it is under state
that
we don't have to go out for
bid.
That's right.
Okay.
So we'll have it on there for.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. For
yeah.
We talked about it during the process of doing the budget for this year, and it's in the line item. We talked about it, as far as I'm concerned, extensively. So I don't. This is one of those things where I don't need to talk about it. Three readings. I didn't want him to get his trucks this
right.
Spring and summer. And so, as far as I'm concerned, I'm only one vote. I could vote for suspension and pass it.
Okay. Because we talked about the expenditure of it. It's just a matter of approving it. And Rob's probably, I'm sure you're on track with your budget and things are going well. We haven't had anything that rolls out that would change this or. An expenditure that you need somewhere else.
As I had said, one of our large trucks has broken down, seriously broke down.
Right.
And it's one of our 94s. It's our backup truck. So it's one of our backup trucks. And the repairs are going to be too extensive. We're going to perform the repairs, but it'll be in-house. We'll do it over the summer. I'm a little nervous because it is one of our backups. Our newer trucks, our newest truck, our 08 is what went down to 2 years ago and was out for the whole season. And this one that just broke down, the 94, that's what plowed the rest of the season a couple years ago. So last time, I'm just using the opportunity to let you know, last time I came before you with a big truck, the number was 147. It just so happens that when Matt stopped by today, the number's 180. So next year budget time when I bring this back up, the number's not going down on the big truck. So I'm just letting you know. I'm not trying to push my luck.
Bob, what is the turnaround time? How soon would you be able to get the trucks once ordered?
I think maybe 3 months. I think what it is, and the reason is because we could get them right now. They can you know, get them off the lot or order them. But if we get them off the lot, we can get them quicker. If we order them, it actually works in our favor for the price of the truck. So that's what we figured.
And they come outfitted already with the lights and things like that.
Everything's outfitted on it.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'll make copies of these quotes that Rob provided with stuff like that.
Yeah, considering the amount of time that it would take for the trucks to come anyway, I would be fine with a suspension. I know Ray wasn't here with us. I believe most of the time he was in the audience with it. So, you know, whether he's comfortable with that for suspension also. But just if it's going to take 3 months to get these things anyway, I don't see a reason to delay that.
Mr. Mayor, I'm also yes. fine with the suspension. We've already talked about this extensively, and you have it in your budget, so there's no reason to delay.
Okay. Well, if something changes, we can always switch to the first reading. Okay. So we'll put it in. So we're going to have the two trucks for legislation, too, along with the Sanders Street. Yeah, we'll get out of here. The other item is Planning Commission. We could have legislation for next week. I know Mary has started contacting you, kind of where everybody's at. I'm going to make those same calls to you, kind of see where we're all at, to, you know, how we want to proceed. Expect a call from me this week. You know, I'd like to get it out for next Tuesday. But if not, I don't know if anybody wanted to have any discussion of it now. I'd rather talk to everybody first before we discuss people in positions on the public floor.
I agree.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And I've talked to Mary myself and Brian and Ray, you know, and stuff. We've all spoken individually, you know, and stuff too. So.
Yeah, I know Mary has a call in Danny and stuff too, and I know he's looking up in the weather, so, you know, we should be able to. Okay?
Mm-hmm. It would be nice to get that position filled, though, so we can get that legislation approved by them also.
Yeah, I want to have a planning commission right away. We're looking at our corner lot there, it has to be like a lot split there. Because of what we talked about, we want to have a right of way from the sign up there at the corner.
This corner?
Yes, the Smith and Olby corner, mm-hmm. right there. So that is part of that issue, too, along with the group housing legislation and changes there related to that. So, and probably get George Smear get in here for that meeting, too. Because we might even have a few. Maybe even a few less changes, believe it or not. There's been some challenges that haven't been in different communities' favors when it comes to this new state regulations, at least according to some of the other mayors out there. So, unfortunately, they made it even tighter our hands. But so that is something we need to get done. So it would be nice, yes. So let's see what we come up with. I think we'll do well. I think that's all I have. Anybody else have anything for other business?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, I had a question.
Yes.
And this is, it's going to seem like it's coming out of nowhere, but it was on an inquiry from a resident. The village only has 3 liquor licenses, correct? And all of them are currently occupied. Tinker's Tavern, Astrohurst, and across the street.
Yeah.
So there would be no way for another liquor license unless they were purchasing it from one of those properties or owners, correct?
We understand.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you have anything to say to that, Ron?
Based on population.
Yeah, I know there's been some changes over the last few years.
I don't know enough about it.
Jeff, do you know anything?
For Jeff, I don't know more than that. They're a lot more fluid these days than they used to be.
Yeah,
right.
You can't even sell them anymore because people, they don't have the value they used to have.
They're not as valuable as they used to be. So anybody that has one, it's not like they're holding on to the gold, not like they used to.
Right. Jeff Phillips Anderson, 12. They changed the law with population. It's a Terrick law, Terrick's. Yeah. You can take a liquor license anywhere in Ohio. It's a community will accept it. You can take that. So it doesn't go by population or the amount of liquor license in a village.
So they're not as hot as they used to be.
They can be if, say, like, Alabama wanted to buy
right.
your liquor license and something like that in a certain community. But other than that,
so they can be moved then. Somebody could purchase a building in the village.
Somebody from Medina County could bring one here while Neil's accepts it. Because every year the village has to okay the renewal.
Right.
Okay.
Of the liquor license.
Okay. Thank you. Outdoor bar in my backyard.
Any other questions?
Just wondering if you had received any word from the Secretary of Board of Education of St. Michael's.
No, I had a conversation with somebody, and they said that it's a letter that they put out to any of the communities, which we know the dispute from last year, when it falls below, because if for some reason we don't provide the bus, we have to give so much notice, this and that. So I expressed to that person the same thing I expressed to everybody last week, that they want to see our bus. So we'll proceed and see how it goes forward. So I feel pretty good we're going to still get the bus. But
And the last question is, how did your meeting go with the mayor of Macedonia last week? Was you able to talk to them about the rec center?
No, I did not. We did not.
Okay.
But when I do, I will bring up the rec center.
Okay. And just to kind of clarify things up on this hill and...
I was under the weather, so...
Boy,
I've been under the weather. I didn't want to get sick.
You like that better. Add a side of vinegar and it's going to be good for you.
There you go.
Down right out. That's what I use. People may have been... and if you convey myself clearly on the curb, there's a curb there now. You put the bike path on the other side of the curb, same height as the curb. Cyclists don't run into the curb. The car protects the curb from the cyclists. Essentially, what you're doing is you're putting in a sidewalk, just like you have in any other city, and you're right going down the sidewalk, a 4-foot or 5-foot wide sidewalk, whatever you put in there, straight down the hill. That's it.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, in regards to the bus, that took quite a few months last year to finally become resolved, correct? I mean, I don't think it was until almost the end of the school year that they had made a decision.
I know Katie sent me a copy. In the letter, it says, it talks about when registration is complete, they'll have their final number and make their determination of it, or something like that. But I mean, they mentioned too later on.
Right. To let Mr. Lisko know, because when this started last year, I was constantly asking the mayor, not for myself, but for my brother with two small children and, other residents. But it did take a while before they finally came around. So just...
Yeah, it was 3 days before school started. They told us that the bus was coming.
Yeah,
I think it was a little bit more better.
But you just...
I know we're going to get it. It's just that, you know, the wife was freaking out.
Oh, understandable, but just to let you know, it's probably going to be a while before we get a definitive answer.
Right. We'll do what we did last year. We'll continue, and I shared the conversation that we don't expect to take no for an answer, but at the same time, I'll work with them, you know. I think they're going to give us the bus. We'll move forward. If not, we'll do what we have in the past. We've gone to the meetings and acted as a group. And, we haven't had to do that for a long time. Last time we had to go to a meeting because of the bus was probably close to 10 years ago. So I know myself and some of the residents attended their meeting. But I'll keep you in a loop. As soon as I find out, I will share with those residents from St. Michael's and stuff. It doesn't make my life easy, believe me. I'm not thrilled about it. Andrew came up last week, and Katie sent me the letter too, and she got it a little later than you. So, yeah, see, that's what you were saying. Yeah. We'll go from there. So I think we have a good relationship. We'll try to continue that and get our bus. Anybody else have anything? Now, Council, I ask for a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the committee of whole meeting on Tuesday, February 22nd. February 11th.
Is there a second?
Second.
Councilperson Brian Miller?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Sweden?
Yes.
No, yes. Time goes by too fast. You're pushing me a week ahead.
Thank you, everybody.